With me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. We'll be giving a short lesson after the song, after the lesson. The Lord's Supper will be offered to those who would want to partake of it. And then after the Lord's Supper, we'll have the announcements, I would assume. We'll have the announcements, and then after the announcements, we will go right on into the congregational meeting. And then at the end of the congregational meeting, we'll then have the closing prayer. But that'll be the order this evening. Here in Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 31, Jesus presents the judgment scene of when He comes. The Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him. It says, "Then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" Now notice the reason. "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? Or when did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick and in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." And then he talks about what he will say to those on the left hand, those who will depart into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And the reason given is they did not minister to him by ministering to his brethren. One thing that this tells us is that one of the bases for the judgment that we will receive will be whether or not we have shown love for one another. That is a standard that God's given, that the Lord's given, and the basis upon which we will then be judged. Meeting the needs of one another. And included in this list here, not only feeding those who are hungry and giving drink to those who are thirsty, but he says, "I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Now, why would he visit the sick? Why are we to visit the sick? Why would we go visit someone who's in prison? No doubt in prison because he is being persecuted because of his faith. Well, they need encouragement. We show love because we encourage those who are down and who are going through some difficult times. And what I want to do just in a few minutes here is to just emphasize that the importance of us visiting, tending to the needs of others. Now, we are made up of a church who does that, for the most part. But I tell you what I think happens sometimes, and I'll put myself in that category of that second group. There are those who are there tending to the needs of others. And we know who they are, and they do that. But then you have those who maybe haven't done it as much, maybe not have done it. It may be, well, others do that. What I want to do is I want to try to emphasize we all need to be involved in this. This is a basis upon, you know, we're going to stand before Christ as individuals. And so we are to then minister to the needs of others, those who are the Lord's brethren, those who are part of the church. And that's the reason for this. We find that Jesus was one who had compassion on others. And He wants us to have that same love and compassion in our hearts. Remember Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 42. A leper said to Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put out His hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing. Be cleansed." In Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 15, when Jesus saw a widow whose only son had died, the text says He had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." And then he raised the son from the dead. And we know Jesus is our example. We're to love as he loves. And so we need to think in terms of others and what can we do to help others. I understand there are times when we don't have opportunity. The Lord does not require us to do that which we do not have the ability and opportunity to do. You remember in Philippians chapter 4, look with me in Philippians 4 and verse 10. Paul says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now, at last, your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity." Now, there was a time that they didn't show the care or was able to send to Paul. It was not that they did not care, but they lacked opportunity. And that's sometimes what happens. We have compassion, we care, we want to be there for others, but there are times that we're not able because we lack the opportunity. We're talking here about looking for the opportunities. Where we have the ability and opportunity, taking advantage of those opportunities. The Lord will hold us accountable. And one reason that it's important that we do that, as we've already mentioned, is our eternal destiny depends upon it. Whether or not I've done that or not is going to determine whether I go to heaven or to hell. Galatians 6 and verse 10, you remember, Paul said, "As we have opportunity, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith." That's a command. That's an instruction of our Lord. That as we have opportunity, we are to do good. And you remember in James chapter 1, he talks about pure religion. We want to practice pure religion, but what is involved in that? Verse 27 of James 1 says, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." In other words, looking to the needs of others, meeting the needs of others. That's pure and undefiled religion before God. And the Lord expects us to do that. But also, by doing this, we're letting our light shine. Now, we talked about this in other lessons. The Lord wants us to be an influence in the world for good. And He says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, "You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." You know, as we minister to the needs of others, we are letting our light shine. And that will make a difference in the lives of others. And in fact, it may even contribute to the restoration of one who is unfaithful. As we then show love to others, even to the one who maybe is unfaithful, we then show our love and care when they are in need. Then we are letting our light shine so that we maybe can restore them, bring them back to the Lord. It can even contribute to the conversion of an alien sinner as we are doing good unto others. And so in this way, we're making a difference in the lives of others. That's a reason it's important that we do this work. And also, it can contribute to the patient's recovery. You visit the sick. One thing that doctors have come to understand is that their patients are not just physically ill because of the physical problems. They do not treat just the physical illness of the patient without also considering the patient's mental condition, their emotions, because they know that the emotions, the mental state of the patient, has a lot to do with their recovery. They know that the patient's mental condition has a bearing on their physical condition. So, our visits, our calls, our cards that we might send them, letting them know we're praying for you, we're thinking of you. It lifts them up. It lifts their spirits. That can even contribute to their recovery, their physical recovery. And so what we do is, of course, to the benefit of others. And also it can help the one visiting as well as the one visited, it will help you. It helps us to be more compassionate and attentive when we see the good that is done. When I realize that what I've done is helping others, then that helps me want to, encourages me to do more of that. It also helps us to be more appreciative of our help and the help of our family when we see others who are in need and we're there to help. Then we are more appreciative of what we have. It helps us to want to go to heaven more as we see the misery, as we see people who are suffering. It helps us to realize that this life is just temporary. There is a world that will not have any suffering. There will be no sicknesses and no pain. And it helps us to want to go there. And it helps us to be more patient when we suffer, when we realize how that others have gone through this and that they have been patient. And they've come through it. It helps to encourage us that when we suffer, that we can get through this with God's help as well. So these are things that we are reminded of to help us to always be thinking in terms of what can I do to assist my brother, my sister, to help them, to encourage them in whatever way we can. What can we do? Well, speak words of cheer and encouragement whenever you have the opportunity to encourage another. Be there. Just be present. Someone says, I don't know what to say. A lot of times just going and visiting and saying, you know, we're praying for you, is enough. Letting them know that you care. If you're not able to go, send cards and letters. It may be that concerning shut-ins, you can maybe offer to read the Bible to them. And that would be something that they would appreciate. Assist them with their financial obligations if they have that kind of need. Help with practical or domestic obligations. Now, that doesn't mean we push ourselves on them, but if they need their lawn mowed or their dishes washed, their house cleaned, whatever it might be, then we could offer that to them. Offer them assistance in whatever way we can. Maybe during times of bereavement or sickness, they may need food brought in. These are things that we can do that will encourage, that will help them to know that they're not forgotten. There should never be anyone in the congregation would ever think, well, the church doesn't care for me. And that means thinking about the needs of the, going through the directory and saying, okay, who was here, who was not here? Who is it that I haven't seen in a while? And giving them a call. And that kind of thing will help us then to encourage and help one another. So that's what I'm reminding us of today. And I'm reminding that myself more, I guess, than as much as anybody. And so that's the reason for the lesson this evening. Well, for those who do that, and you do it regularly, thank you so much. I appreciate the good example that you're giving and continue, and hopefully we will also follow in line and be that kind of people as well. There may be some here this evening who need to respond to the invitation of our Lord. If you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to come to Jesus, obey His gospel, that you might find salvation from your sins, that you might be saved, you may have the hope of eternal life. Don't leave here without having that hope. If you've become a Christian but you've fallen away, you cease to live for Jesus, repent. Confess your sins and pray God for forgiveness. Come forward and we'll pray on your behalf that God will forgive you, that God will be with you. If there are any who are subject to this call, please come as we stand and sing.